And she always had the best makeup on while she was like showering, makeup, lashes, the whole thing, sleeping. Hello, and welcome to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast full of friendship, feelings, and snark. My name is Marines.
I'm Nicole Sweeney.
And today we are joined by Deboki.
Hi, I'm Deboki, and I am on YouTube at OkidokiBoki.
And Deboki is back with us once again to talk about the Hulu original series Dollface. Dollface is the story of a woman named Jules, played by Kat Dennings, who I believe also executive produced this show. Jules is dumped in the first episode by her boyfriend of 5 years, Jeremy, and realizes that she is now entirely adrift because she had thrown herself so completely into her relationship that she has no friends to turn to at this moment in her life. The show has this whole surrealist element that it introduces immediately after the breakup, when Jules boards a bus at the exact spot on the side of the road where she got out of Jeremy's car and finds that the bus is driven by a woman with a cat for a head, or a cat head. I guess it's not a cat forehead. It's just the head of a cat. Where in place of her human head. And if you've seen a trailer for this show, you have definitely seen the cat lady. While on the bus, Jewel gradually realizes that she is with a bunch of other women who have also recently been dumped. And ultimately, they arrive at a bus station where the other women are claimed by their friends and Jules is left all alone. Jules sets out to rebuild her female friendships, starting with her college roommate, Madison, played by Brenda Song, and their friend Stella, played by Shay Mitchell. Madison was incredibly hurt by the way that Jules ghosted her when she was with Jeremy, so she is reluctant to welcome Jules back into her life, but with Stella's help, Jules wins her over. The cat lady is also kind of like a recurring sort of fairy godmother-esque character throughout all of this. Jules also tries to bond with her coworkers at Womb, the Goop-esque place where she works as a web designer, specifically a trio of women all named Allison, except that Jules learns that one of them is actually named Izzy and she lied in order to fit in. Izzy eventually becomes the awkward comic relief fourth member of the friend group that Jules is building. There's also a whole like B plot where Madison is dating an older married man named Colin, who is later revealed to be the husband of Celeste, the owner of Womb. Jules finds out that Colin is making no real moves to leave Celeste, and tells Madison this, who does not believe her, and the two get into a fight. Meanwhile, Jules had also agreed to still be in Jeremy's sister's wedding, which was only a couple months away at the time of the breakup. Jules lies to her friend about whose wedding she is going to be in. Like, she tells him she's going to be in a wedding in Mexico, but not that it is her ex-boyfriend's sister. In the season finale, her friends show up in Mexico so that Madison can apologize and make amends, only to discover Jules in a compromising position with Jeremy, who has decided that he wants to get back together with Jules. The trio storms out and winds up having this like weird peyote trip in the desert before eventually coming back and crashing the actual wedding to save Jules from herself, basically. Only she doesn't need that saving because she has decided that she likes who she is with her friends more than who she was in that relationship. At the wedding, Madison sees Colin and Celeste together and is heartbroken. Jules gives a dramatic wedding speech and the four friends steal the just married car and drive themselves back to LA. The end.
So we'll start where we always start with the question I'm so curious to know. Like, I'm actually super, super curious to hear this because we haven't discussed this at all. Sometimes we do, this time we haven't. But did you guys like this, Deboki?
I liked it. I have some qualifications like that I'm sure we'll get into, but especially from the beginning, I was surprised by like what it was. I didn't know what to expect and it surprised me and I really enjoyed it.
Much like Deboki, my answer is a yes with a big asterisk by it. But this is, for the purposes of this yes, no question, yes.
I'm the exact same. So my overall experience like of the thing is like, yes, I enjoyed it, but I think that it, because it was doing some things and like blending fantastical elements and it was being a little bit like, I don't know, it was taking a look at women and relationships in a way that was super exaggerated. There are places where it failed. But overall, I still enjoyed watching it. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. Let's start talking about the ways that this is like a yes head tilt, like the asterisks, as it were, to our experience and how this didn't quite work, maybe.
So I think the like shortest way to explain why this is a sort of yes question mark is I really enjoy the sort of basic idea of this show of like female friendship thing, fantastical elements. Like those things are things that are, we've talked about this recently a couple times on the podcast, ways in which the show is pandering directly to me. So there's a certain element of automatic buy-in that I feel for the thing. All of those things are undercut by the way in which it is also built on like really regressive ideas about femininity. And it is incredibly heteronormative because of the fantastical elements. There are a lot of things that are intentionally exaggerated, but because the sort of starting point is a really like basic and incredibly, I don't know, oversimplified version of like womanhood and like women in relationships and, you know, female friendships and all of that, sometimes the over exaggerated parts wound up missing the mark in that respect. The thing that I mostly was struck by was the feeling that if I had seen this show like a decade ago, I would have super loved it. But like, it was just there were elements of it that at this particular moment, it was not doing enough.
Yeah.
But all of that being said, like I had a fun time watching it. And it is something where I feel like there are enough worthwhile ideas there that I would be curious to see how it could grow going forward.
Yeah, I think I agree a lot with that. A lot of my feeling about the show, when I first started watching it, I like didn't really know what to expect. And I was like immediately as I watched it was sold. Like as soon as the fantastical stuff hit, I was sold. Mm-hmm. Even though there were definitely some things like in terms of what those fantastical elements were like expressing, I was like, disagree with this. But like I liked what it was doing. But then I think especially like in the second half, like this is like a show that clearly wants to say something about female friendships and the value of it. But I think because a lot of the framing is female friendships versus romantic relationship with a dude, it creates this binary that I don't even think it fully buys into. It's just that is like what the show is built on, and it gets a little bit hung up on that. And then especially at the end, the way that it ends for me was a little bit unsat. Like it is a little bit satisfying. Like there's a literal like fuck you moment that is great. But like in terms of like the ongoing thing that I think the show was building to, it never quite hit because it didn't feel like it was actually like it actually ended up saying anything about what it seemed to want to say.
I think that the thing that was said so far that like most feels true for me was the outdated part of it. It's not even like the exaggerations or the stereotypes, but it is that it was like so, I don't know, it felt so aggressively gendered, I think is what Nicole said when she was like warning me what we were getting into. But also like things that, yes, would have been funny years ago or that we've seen before. And there was this like weird place it was trying to get to, but I either wanted it to be even more ridiculous and fantastical or saying a little bit something deeper, because it was in a weird middle area where it wasn't saying a ton. And even some of the things that were, it was like, oh, friendships are good, but it didn't really go any deeper than that. Yeah. When they confronted each other about like, this is hard and it kind of sucks, then they just were like, oh, sorry, and kiss and make up and move on. But it never really addressed like, yeah, friendships are hard. And, you know, the ways that they were kind of being bad to each other, not listening to each other and that kind of stuff. So had it committed one way or another, I felt like I would have enjoyed this more and had it been a little more up to date. Like the scene where she's trying to cook for a date and she can't cook, so she orders out and she fakes like she cooked the meal. I'm like, oh my God, we've seen that so many times. So to have something like that in a show where, you know, there's a literal talking cat lady, it just felt like an imbalance to me.
Totally. And the thing that you were saying about like if it had gone a little bit further, one of the things that I kept thinking about is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which also does a lot of stereotypes fairly often. And I think probably the like the Friendtopia song is probably the closest bit to, I think, some of the things that this show is doing. And that works because it is absurd. Like it is so absurd that even the ways in which, you know, the let's just go home and drink rosé, that kind of tone in that space works in a way that didn't necessarily work here, because this show felt a little bit too serious. Like, it was saying, let's just go home and drink rosé a little bit too seriously. when, like, it was like, okay, no, but you have some real issues that you need to work out about how you're communicating with each other. So, you know.
Overall, I know that you, Deboki, kind of briefly mentioned it at the top, but how did you feel about, like, the fantastical elements and about taking those breaks for the cat lady? And, you know, they're sitting at brunch and a rift literally is opening up as Jules is trying to hold the pieces together and those kinds of things.
I think I would not have enjoyed the show as much without them. I think without that, it would have just kind of been like a Sex and the City redux. I liked the elements that brought, especially because I think a thing I wrote when, like, in my journal while I was watching, like, after I'd watched, like, the first two episodes, is like, the show makes me feel both seen and attacked. And, like, I think those fantastical elements were, like, a part of that, because it was like when she's, like, envisioning, like, these, like, very catastrophic versions of events and stuff, or when she's thinking about, like, kind of the chaos of all of these different decisions she's trying to make, like, seeing that, like, visually represented in a fantastical way was, like, really, really nice. But now that I've finished the show and I have all of these reservations, I've also been wondering, like, to what extent is the show relying too much on that? And I think the most ambitious but also maybe questionable use for me is in the second to last episode, where she, like, lives out this Wizard of Oz feminist quest, where I appreciate what that's trying to do. But in the end, again, like, it felt like it was doing a lot but not saying anything. Like, you reach the end of that episode and I just kind of like, I see what they are trying to do, I just don't kind of understand how it ended up fitting into the overall discussion that this whole show isn't engaged in. Like, the themes that are, like, being built on around, like, feminism in this one episode are, like, by the nature of the episode, never actually going to be fully explored by all of these characters in the next episode, because only one of them has experienced it and she doesn't seem to actually, like, bring what she's learned to a further discussion, if that makes sense. Like, It just sometimes trying to figure out what the point of it was beyond just, like, the fact that I loved seeing it.
That makes perfect sense, though, because, like, the reason she's not going to bring any of it forward is that there wasn't any real engagement with those ideas in the first place. That episode, I agree entirely, was really interesting conceptually. And, like, when it started, I was like, okay, this is cool. And I don't even mind it being entirely a dream sequence. I think that given the rest of the show, I actually would have liked it better if it hadn't been. I think that this goes back to the point about just leaning into the fantastical stuff a little bit more. And like, that is a thing that I think the show would have been better if it hadn't been a dream sequence. However, that aside, even with it just being a dream sequence, there isn't anything there. They keep saying feminism, but, like, to what end? Like, what the fuck do they actually mean by the word feminism? Like, I genuinely have no idea, except that it feels like a word that they were like, well, this is a female friendship show in 2019, we sure better make sure we bring up feminism. And, like, it felt honestly like a womb. It felt like Womb's take on feminism, right? Like, like, that is what I felt like that episode was doing. And the thing is, like, you don't have to. Like, the fact that you're doing this female friendship show in 2019, you actually don't have to bring up feminism. Like, that is not actually necessary. But it felt like, I don't know, like, they got that far in when they realized how reductive and aggressively gendered everything leading up to that point was. And that was their attempt to be like, no, we're woke, we swear. I don't know. What was that episode saying? The answer is nothing. And that is why there is nothing for Jules to engage with moving forward.
When I saw the beginning of the episode, I was sort of interested in where it was going, because I think a lot of it was down to, like, the constant policing of, like, everyday personal actions and relationships as evidence or contributions towards feminism. But then the episode sort of didn't really want to actually engage with that, it felt like. And that's where it was, like, lacking for me. Like, where I was, like, at first, like, oh, okay, are they going to finally talk about, like, the difference between feminism as, like, a constant assessment of your personal actions versus feminism as, like, trying to address societal and systemic issues? No, it turns out.
No, not at all. Yeah, it posed those questions at the top. So like it promised something, but it didn't ever actually deliver on that promise.
It literally got there. They got to like the speaker, the Oz character, and the answer was like, there is no answer. And I was like, but you just gave me a 30-minute episode, so. Yeah, I was in the same boat. Like the fact that whole episode, like I was on board when it started. I thought it was really cute. I was in for it. But when they got to the Oz character and their questions were like, can you really still wear makeup and be a feminist? I was like dying, wow. dying yes. on my couch. Yeah, I was like, no, this is not what we're doing. But it was what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so like I keep spiraling, I keep going back and forth because, you know, we've had a couple episodes here in past like Snark Squad episodes where we were talking about like things that pandered directly to us and like how a lot of times they're criticized more harshly when it's like media that's meant for women and it has to have some sort of message. And so when you look at reviews of the show, there are a lot of them that are saying the same thing, that it's like empty feminism and whatnot. And for so long in this series, I was thinking, well, it doesn't really have to have like a deep feminist message, but then it gave us this episode. And so it's just like arming those criticisms of it, that it's not, it's very surface level because it tried to do a thing and failed. So that was probably one of my, at least the last half of that episode was one of my least favorites.
Yeah.
The writing on this episode was a little bit like, and we talked about this in the Charlie's Angels episode, Elizabeth Banks trying to like make a big point of this matters for feminism. Like it was like the total own goal for both of these properties of just like, what if you just didn't?
Like the obvious answer to why there is no like answer at the end of the episode is the fact that like it's based on the Wizard of Oz, but like they didn't have to use the Wizard of Oz, right? Like this is the problem with allegory is that sometimes you gotta pick the right allegory. And like if you pick a story where the messages don't peek behind the curtain and then you try to like put this other framework on it that doesn't fit, like this is the result.
And the thing is, going back to our Charlie's Angels conversation, the reason that we were so all in on Charlie's Angels is that it was this very like, it was fun. It was just fun in a very simple, like uncomplicated way. And to say we should have more things that are fun in like simple, uncomplicated ways for more people. And like, that is good. Like that is one thing. But then when you try to also infuse those things and say, this thing has a like real political message, but you were giving us like the cotton candy. And then now you're here trying to say like, no, this is a meal. Like, no, it's not. Like, you like pick one or the other. Yeah. And I don't know, I guess to go back to kind of the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend example, like that is something that I think does do a good job of walking the line of like, of doing the sort of lighthearted fun. And also like there are capital B, capital M big messages. That is a very difficult needle to thread. And this show did not do that.
I think that even with the stuff that I was like, wow, this is like the stereotypes that missed or that felt like aggressively gendered, there was times that I was trying to think in my head, like maybe infuse too much message to what the show was trying to give me. But I was I was thinking that maybe what they were trying to do is like really show us the ridiculousness of like some of the like constructs that women have to deal with. And, you know, some of those messages and this, the idea that we're all working off this rule book, right? This invisible rule book of how we should behave and how we should engage with each other and engage with society. And that could have been really cool if you were exaggerating in that way. But the problem was that I think that the show then bought into too many of those things that I thought they were trying to make fun of, or like, I don't know. That whole dynamic was a little off-putting at times, especially when it came to what was still like my favorite part of the show, which was the friendship, but just seeing them kind of trying to navigate their friendships by living by these rules and never really getting fully there with the messaging that maybe you don't have to, that kind of missed. Okay, so to go from there to the friendships, starting, I guess, with the characters, and then we can talk about their dynamic a little bit. But we have Jules, played by Kat Dennings, who is the main character here. How did you guys feel about her character, and how did you feel about the performance?
I feel like kind of like covers it.
for me. Like, I liked her. Like, I have, like... like, in the sense... Which, like, in a way, I think is, like, perfectly suited for who she is. I think, like... In this kind of show, it's like Carrie Bradshaw, Ted Mosby, like, it's so easy to be like that main character who you just like want nothing. You just like, you're like, why are they the main character? This show, I get why she's the main character. I liked her. I think she's funny. But like, also I'm kind of like, there are things in the way the character's written where I'm kind of like, I'm at the end of the day, I'm not really sure who she is. I'm not sure that she really knows who she is, but I liked her. I think the other members of the cast kind of outshine her, but maybe that's also part of like the nature of being the lead in this kind of show.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would agree with that in that I think part of the point is she's not sure who she is, right? And like, you know, mm-hmm. that she had defined herself by this one relationship and then that thing ended. And the whole point of this first season especially is her trying to understand who she is without that relationship. And I think one of the things that the show is suggesting is that to a certain degree, by virtue of like having friendships that are meaningful, Madison and Stella have a slightly more defined sense of self. All of that to say, I agree. I don't really think that that is necessarily a problem. Given what this show is, I think that it is fine for this character's identity to be a little bit confused and unclear. Kat Dennings is great. I think this performance is basically everything that we've ever seen Kat Dennings do. There's nothing about this that felt like a surprise to see Kat Dennings do, but it is a thing that she does incredibly well, and I found her incredibly charming.
I really like Kat Dennings, but yes, my comment was going to be, this is all I've ever seen Kat Dennings do, and I like it. I don't know, there's something about the actress that I enjoy watching, but yes, I think it's very difficult when you have a character that whose whole like thing is like, I'm a blank slate, because that's how she starts the season, mm-hmm. especially when you have characters that are around her that provide more of the comic relief and are a little more charismatic. You know, the main character does tend to suffer. But yes, I was invested in her. I cared about her. I'm curious. I wanted to ask you guys too how the secondhand embarrassment was for you during this, especially Nicole. Deboki, I don't know if this is something you suffer from, but did it ever get bad for you in watching her shenanigans?
No, this one was mostly fine for me.
I think the closest I got was like when she was liking Melissa's Instagram. But even yes. then, like that was another case where like they didn't go anywhere with it. So it's kind of like, okay. Like,
yes. So a lot of the times that I thought it was going to be really bad, they swerved with it. So like mm-hmm. the liking the thing when she climbed into the sarcophagus and was hiding there, oh no. But then nothing happened. Like she wasn't even caught by the security guard. So a lot of times it was like building me to this point of like, I'm going to have to quit this right now, but it was fine.
The one thing that got me with this show though, sometimes like the corollary to secondhand embarrassment is secondhand, like, what are you doing? like when she's like lying about being pregnant to avoid telling her friend, to avoid telling Madison. I was like, look, I've never been in this situation. Maybe if I were in this situation, I would do the same thing. I know I would have a hard time saying it, but like, you gotta do it. Like, you just, like, rip the band-aid off. Like, that was like, I think the closest I got to like that kind of secondhand embarrassment feeling of just like,
Next up on the list is Madison, who's played by Brenda Song. There are a lot of, we talked about comparisons to Crazy Ex-Girlfriends, so there are connections in the cast there, but there are also Disney Channel connections here. Mm-hmm. Brenda Song is one of them. So how did you feel about Madison as a character? How did you feel about Brenda Song?
I loved her. I think she was one of my favorites. I think the beginning was a little bit stronger, and this is like, again, with a lot of like the beginning where it was more focused on like her being like a workaholic person, like I identified strongly with. So mm-hmm. I like really liked that. And then when it devolved into like the relationship drama, that's where it became a little bit like tougher for me. But I haven't watched Brenda's Song in anything. I think this is the first time I've seen her in something. And now I'm kind of like obsessed.
I almost continued watching after really deeply hating the pilot episode of Seth MacFarlane show that she was in. I mean, it was so bad that I couldn't, but she was like the one thing I was like, oh, she's so charming and good. And that was the first thing that I had seen her do post Disney, you know, that like in an actual adult role, and she was great. But oh god, it was so bad. But I agree that she was great here, and I really enjoyed watching her in something where I could actually like the thing and like her. And she wasn't my favorite character, but she was definitely near the top. I also liked her character much more at the beginning. Like, I liked that sort of dynamic for her character, and I was a little bit annoyed by the way in which the conflict at the end of the season plays out. Like, that felt a little bit like a betrayal of the character as they had written her in the front half. It felt very much like they had Madison be mad at Jules solely for the sake of creating conflict. And I don't know, it felt a little bit disingenuous and untrue to me. And I didn't particularly enjoy that. But on the whole, I liked this character.
So I was going to say that I thought the character was fine. And then listening to you both say that you enjoyed her character, I was like, well, why didn't I like her as much? But I think it very much is her whole side plot with Colin was like not great, not for me, I guess. I don't know. I think that it was one of those things. Again, she got the very like tropey cooking dinner thing. Yeah. And then she has the very tropey dating an older man. And then he's married. And then it ends up that like not only is he married, but he's not separated. And it's like a whole cheating thing. And it just felt so by the book. And then her reaction to it all was also like not, I don't know. She kind of turned on her friends about it. And the resolution wasn't quite there for me because we have that moment of like riding off into the sunset or whatever. So just, I think that I didn't like her plot more than I didn't like her, but one informs the other. So I'm just kind of like, on her in general.
My thing is that I liked the way that the character was introduced. And so to me, her character in the front half of the season, I really enjoyed, and like enough that I again would be curious to see what would come next. I don't know if the show has any chance of getting a second season because people don't seem to like it. I don't know.
That's kind of a bummer to me because I got to the end of this, like I would totally watch a second season to see if it like kind of like coheres a little bit more.
Same. It was a similar feeling to, oh God, what was the show? One of the first shows that we covered. Oh, Runaways. Runaways was a show where it was like, I got to the end and I was like, okay, this season was fine, but mostly this was your like, it felt like a lot of setup. This was less setup than that. There was at least like there was some there, but it also feels like something where I think that there is a ton of room to grow.
Next, let's talk about who I think is the best one. So I'm cheating and saying my answer up front, but it is Shay Mitchell's Stella. So one of the things that they do is that they make Madison like the career minded one, and they make Stella like the bohemian party friend, which was, you know, a thing that's also pretty overdone. However, since I'm already answering, I felt like Shay Mitchell sold it so well.
Yes.
And she was so charming in this role that I didn't even mind that. So how do you guys feel?
That is 100% the correct answer. Like, she is the best one. She is absolutely my favorite character. And I totally think that it comes down to Shay Mitchell's performance. Again, to reiterate a theme of, I think, the two most recent episodes of the podcast, I think what we said about both Kristen Stewart and Emilia Clarke, I think this was more true in the case of Kristen Stewart and Emilia Clarke. I will say that after watching so many years of Shay Mitchell in Pretty Little Liars, where she was just like broody and beautiful in a, I don't know, somewhat less there kind of way. Like, I don't think that she got that much to do on that show. It was really, really fun to watch her be the like fun party girl and watch her in this fun role that I think she did completely sell. She also happens to be so like unreasonably gorgeous at that, like that it makes it work in order for this character to move through the world in the way that this character does. She has to be Shay Mitchell's level of unreasonably gorgeous. And I just all around, I thought that the character was fun. And more importantly, Shay Mitchell was fantastic in this role.
Yeah. Did you guys watch You?
No,
I started it. I watched like two episodes and I just couldn't do it.
I mean, it's a very weird like show, but she like basically played the same character in You, but like a little bit smarter maybe in You, but like she's more like charming and friendly in this one. But I like, for me, like I loved her in You, and this was like kind of a recapitulation of that. Of just like, I could just like watch her like wear nice clothes and talk about like these bizarre like Tahani-esque stories where like, just, like I got myself into this thing today, like, and you'd be like, yeah, you probably did.
Her character, like when they ended up on the boat with the fisherman or whatever, so see, there were those moments that were like ridiculous, but that I sat there thinking like, I don't know, I feel like in a drunken state I could have ended up somewhere like that too. Like that kind of ridiculousness. You start thinking about like all the bad choices you've ever made while drunk and you're like, correct, yes. So her when she was around, like the ridiculous situations that they got into, I thought were really funny, and she was super charming. And I think that they gave her enough of like not being just like vapid. Like she was also a really good friend, and a lot of times that she was the one that was like bridging them all together and saying like, no, don't do that, you got to talk to her and whatnot. And she was the reason that like Jules and Madison came together in the first place. So I think that they gave her a of all of the characters, I thought she had the most to do and to say.
Yeah, I agree. Going back to the beginning of the episode when we were talking about the show's uncertainty around what it was really saying beyond like female friendships are cool, which like is fine, except that it kept sort of dipping into maybe we want to say something else, but then not committing to whatever that something else was. That sort of core message of like female friendships are really good and important. Her character contributed the most to that message.
Rounding out the friend group is a character that I was a little bit surprised by because I didn't know that there would be a fourth member to the friend group. So we originally meet the character of Izzy as Allison. She's one of like the work friends, but then she breaks off from that and becomes introduced into like the core friendship. So she's also the weirdest one.
Yep.
And so I'm curious what you guys thought about Izzy.
I kind of loved her, but I also don't get it. I liked her because I felt like even like when like shit was going down, like she was like just like solid like comic relief of just like, okay, we're still in this very weird world. I don't know, I feel like a lot of this show I keep trying to put pieces together and like come to like maybe try to figure out what the show is saying, and I don't know if I'm trying too hard here, but like this is like another one of those cases where like she felt like she was in the show, but I just like wasn't sure why. But I did enjoy her, so I can't, like, I'm not mad about it.
Well, the show almost asks you to think that way because they're like, here's the career one, here's the party girl, here's Jules who does, you know, fresh out of a relationship, and then you have Izzy. And so you're like, what is she doing? And there was never a real clear answer to that, except for, I guess, comic relief. But at times she was like the one that didn't know who her identity was.
Yeah.
And at times, like, I don't know, she was the one who wasn't used to friendships either. So a lot of what she had going on for her was like repeats of other people. But yes, I mostly enjoyed her. There are a few times that she was just like weird and I didn't laugh, but for the most part she was weird and I laughed, so it was fine.
Yeah, I think that the comic relief of the character worked really well. This is another one where the only other place that I have seen Esther Pavitsky is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, where she plays Maya, who is essentially the exact same character. So there's that piece of it. She was fine. Like, as a character, I have no real feelings about her. I never became particularly invested. I did, however, enjoy the vast majority of the jokes that were written for her.
There are a bunch of other like side characters, and if you guys have any feelings about them, speak now. But her boyfriend Jeremy, who's the one who dumps her and then kind of dips in and out throughout the season as he like comes back into their where they used to live, and then again at the end because he wants to get back together with her. And then there's her boss, who I think is supposed to be Gwyneth Paltrow-esque. I mean, they are working at like a Goop like place, who I wasn't sure about her either. Like, I had very mixed feelings about that whole thing. And then the Allisons are in the background too, which are just kind of more work friends. So how were some of the supporting cast for you guys? Any feelings there?
I agree with the general sense of I don't really know how I feel about the Celeste character in context. I think Malin Ackerman was great in that role.
Yes.
So much like Izzy, I feel like she is given a bunch of jokes that really worked.
Yeah.
In a sort of big picture, what does it all mean kind of way? But I thought the characters' gags were all like very, very good and funny. The way that she kept turning the like, it's like really important for you to have somebody who's inspiring. Yeah. Unfortunately, I only am me. And like, I can be that for you. I don't know. Just all everything with her arrogance. Again, going back to wanting the show to do more, do less, unclear. But there was a really good bit in a meeting at Woom where Jules was even there. It was basically all side characters in this meeting, but where they give a presentation for an ad for a product called White Powder. But the way that the advertisement ends, the woman in the ad is positioned such that her head is in front of the D, and like, I don't know, just like that whole gag was really funny, except it felt like it belonged in a different show. I don't know what that had to do with this show.
Yeah.
Except that I don't know, somebody came up with it and they were like, this is gonna be really fun and funny, and it was, but also why?
Yeah, every time I just think of her lines, I just like crack up. Like when she's like, I inspired you and you inspired me, so it's like I inspired myself. I'm like, man, that is like something to aspire to. And like even with the scene you're just talking about where she's just like, you know, I know that I'm just like more in tune with these things than other people. Perfect. The one of the supporting cast members that like really took me out of the moment was the vet, who's played by Matthew Gray Gubler, who like for me, I strictly associate him with Criminal Minds, and I was like, this is the crossover that like is really gonna like kind of confuse me. It was like very strange to see him in that role because I don't think I've seen him anywhere else, and I've definitely never seen him play like a romantic interest. But beyond that, I didn't really have any opinions, mostly because again, the show didn't really like take that anywhere, it felt like.
That was so
weird. To be clear, I don't think that it was any of it was like well handled or well written.
Yeah.
I agree with everything that you're saying about the how he fits into the show. But like, he was so charming that again, it was like, it was another one of those pieces that I was like, I don't really know what this is doing here. Like, I don't know what you like want to accomplish with this exactly. And it came to an ending that was just like, well, why? But I don't know, man. There was something about him that I was like, cool, I love you. Let's get married.
I mean, he was super charming, and he was very, I hate to use this word, but kind of normal in the middle of all of this. Like, he was just a vet. He would flirt.
He's just and then a nice little vet.
He was a normal guy. Yeah. And she'd be like, guy. No, thank you. And he'd be like, cool. And he'd leave. And then he'd show back up. And then the way that it ended, I was like, what? Why? Why did this show take me on this journey?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand. I didn't understand pretty much any of the like male-female relationships on the show at all.
Yeah.
And maybe that was the point, is like, go hang out with your friends because men are trash. I don't know. I honestly don't understand.
The show has a really long game message about romantic relationships, which is dating men is bad. Don't do it.
Well, that's like one of the weird things, because like the show starts with like her needing to reconnect with her friends because she's just been dumped dumped by a guy and she like she's made all of this progress with her friends. So she calls him in the last episode and she realizes that he actually has like another woman with him, and she's kind of like, oh, seems like I sort of missed my shot. She's kind of bummed. They don't really go into that, but then like the next turnaround is like this relationship that's like now like ended with her friends, or like seems to have ended. They've just had like this huge fight. Like it like immediately becomes repaired. So it again like frames the female friendship as like a thing to fill the hole left by men, which like it initially seemed to be fighting against. So like that was a thing like where again, like I don't think that's what the show wanted to say. It's just like the way that the events are laid out. Like it feels like that's how it ends up framed to me. Also, I feel like the fact that we don't have any strong opinions on the boyfriend is like a weird thing too. Like I feel like I should feel more committed to him being terrible, but also like I kind of just am like, eh, he sucked. Seems like the relationship wasn't good, but like, eh.
That feels right to me though. Like I think this show wasn't built around like big, you know, revenge plots or anything like that, you know? Like I think that if he sucked too much, then there would have been a greater sense of, I don't know, where's the justice for this man who is terrible, right? Like he can't, if he sucked any more than he did, then we would have spent too much time thinking about how much he sucks. And I think like the real point is that we really shouldn't be spending that much time thinking about him at all.
He was like, he was fine enough or sucky in a way where I could see why she would get like, she would lose herself in that relationship, I guess.
Right.
And they were just kind of like bland together. And he was just like a bland kind of guy, except for when he had his shirt off. And then I was like, girl, that's why you dated him for 5 years. Like, I see. Yeah. But anyways.
I was not expecting that.
Neither was I.
Well, that was his like power move. He was like, okay, I want to get you back. Let me remind you what I look like without my shirt on. Correct. That is the correct
move. Good move. Yeah, but I think that keeping him bland and in the background worked for what the story was doing.
I think like a moment I like kind of appreciated, I guess, along those lines is when she's talking to him in the museum and she's like, you know, I was upset because like last Santa Con or whatever, I wanted to go to the museum and you wanted to go do, or like there's something where she wanted to go to the museum, he wanted to watch football, so she just stayed at home and watched football. And she's like, I should have just called my friends. And I thought that was like an interesting moment of it also not being like it was his fault, like it is like on her to have like spent the time with her friends to have figured out what her own priorities were. But yeah, which I thought was interesting in the context of like, yeah, this relationship is not good for her, but it's not just him. It's also about how she engaged with it.
Right. And I think I wish that the show would get maybe like a second outing, because it teased at ideas like that. And in theory, we kind of saw Madison, you know, in having a life with her friends and having this relationship. But like even that was undercut by the whole, you know, oh, actually, this guy sucks component of it. The idea of you can be in a relationship and you can be a good friend, like those things are not mutually exclusive. And like and in moments like that, the show seems to acknowledge that that's the case. But then, I don't know, spends the rest of the time kind of saying, no, we're just kidding. That's actually not true. I don't know.
And then in like the last episode where, you know, tying everything up, they have the bride, clearly her husband hates his life. He's, he's shown getting drunk at his own wedding and like barely saying anything. But then she has like that whole like speech to Jules about like, there's a time in your life for friends and then there's a time not to have friends or whatever. And I know they're like saying it like, you know, it's one of those jokey things, but is it? Because your show hasn't actually shown me anybody who is doing both.
Right. It was just so unnecessary. Like nothing leading up to that point. It is only in that final episode that we see that the sister, whose name I've already forgotten, but that her and her husband have a relationship like that, that is going to be the sort of like classic, you know, it's funny that I hate my wife, like future that they're heading into.
So funny.
Right. Like that, like that's clearly what that relationship is going to be. And that's a choice. But prior to that, you know, we saw her hanging out with her friends at the like bachelorette party. Like that was another one of those things that felt introduced solely to get us somewhere else. And that somewhere else was Jules, you know, giving her big speech, you know, like giving us a reason to feel okay with Jules being dramatic in the middle of this couple's fucking wedding reception. That's the only reason that that was there, is that like they wanted to have Jules have her big literal mic drop moment. And the here is the venue for it. And the only way to get us to that without also being like, wow, our main character is actually kind of an asshole, is if they also spend time saying, no, 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 this couple isn't happy anyway, so it's fine. Yeah. She ruins their fucking wedding. I feel like I'm discovering that I have more problems with this show than I thought the longer that we talk about it.
This is true, because I was just thinking about how I don't know some of those things, like the show in trying to make fun of some of these things also didn't have like a good view sometimes of like female friendships, or like the whole like making fun of Goop and like a woman run company, all we saw were women working there, the way that it was making fun of it, it was kind of like, well, God, you know, I don't know, it just felt like a little down putting it was putting it down kind of basically, and it was like, see you later for matcha and meditation. And I don't know, the jokes, the longer that I think about it, the more they're kind of bumming me out.
Which this is the thing, so those, that kind of joke making fun of the sort of Goop-esque like idea, that kind of thing in a show with a clearer and more intentional and more thought out and fuller feminist messaging, making fun of Goop is punching up. In a show like this that is built on very heteronormative, very aggressively like classical gender role bullshit, punch it, like making fun of this all female company starts to feel like it's punching down. Right. Going back to the hollowness of the feminism episode, right? Like there's no other messaging built around that to not make it feel a little bit like, oh, this, you know, lady company is stupid, right? So yes, I agree that those jokes end up feeling just bad.
And it happens with a lot of the things surrounding like the core friends felt good to me, even though they, you know, it could have gone a little deeper, but it felt like that was a good dynamic and they cared about each other. But then you start looking at the stuff around it. And so even with the bride, as she's saying, like, you don't need friends. And she was talking about how the friends that she had, like, she doesn't even talk to them or see them. So the way that it was almost like implying something about female friendships and how they can be staged and things like that, that, I don't know, that felt icky to me too.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of the stuff outside of our core four, just the way, and then even the date that Jeremy brought to the wedding, it was like she was ditzy in a way that they were poking fun at her. So it was almost a little difficult to see what women we were laughing with and which ones we were laughing at. And that gets a little hazy as you move away from the main characters.
All right, I changed my answer. I don't like this show. it's actually going to be a no for me.
Oh, damn it. Okay, how about the answer is like, I had fun watching it.
Yeah, I had fun watching it, but thinking about it for any amount of time, I did not enjoy.
Like, just like whoever styled this show, I would like to see more from. Like, both like the art, the fantasy, the clothes, like a lot of that stuff has me trapped. Like, still fully, if they had a second season, I would watch it because I liked looking at it, and like, Brenda Song and Shay Mitchell have like got me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like a lot of the story, I'm just like, what was the point?
Yeah. Yep.
If it makes you feel better, we got an episode out of it. I will say that in my memory, at least some of the like larger running gags will like live up. Them and like taking the sleigh ride lift or whatever, and her trying to prove that Macaulay Culkin was like a killer because she watched this one documentary. Like some of those like longer jokes and gags, I think, were well done. But if you're going to watch the show, just don't think about it too much, I guess, is what we're saying.
You know what I think it is I think this show hits a little bit on some shows that I've loved that didn't last very long, like Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 and yes. Selfie. But those shows felt like they had some sort of point of view that this show like so sincerely needs.
Okay, but Selfie is a great example because that show didn't, when at the tragedy of Selfie is that it took the, I don't know, what was it, like basically half a season run that it got?
Yeah.
And it took that whole sort of half season run to build up to the really great thing that it was in those last couple episodes. Great. The pilot was a lot like this show in terms yep. of being sort of hollow and like, you know, I don't know, having messages that were not that interesting. And then once it established its characters and spent some time with them, it figured out how to use them in a way yeah. that in those final episodes of the very short run that it got, like, was really, really great. And it sucks so much that it got canceled. Yeah. But like that is the kind of thing that does bring me back around to it, not necessarily liking this first season, but still feeling like I would really be interested to see what a second season of this show yeah. would look like.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you to Deboki for joining us this week, and thank you all for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, consider sharing it with your friends or rating and reviewing it wherever you are listening. We'd also love to hear all of your thoughts on Dollface. Did you like it? Did you like it less after listening to us think about it?
Or did you like it more?
Or did you like it more? There will be a post dedicated to this episode up on SnarkSquad.com. You can also sign up to join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/SnarkSquad. Or you can also find us on Twitter at Snark_Squad. You can find me at My Name is Marines.
I am at Sweeney Says.
And I am at Okidoki_Boki.
This podcast is produced by Nicole and me, and it is edited by Nicole. The theme music that is playing us out right now is by Stefan Chin. We'll be back in your feed next week.
Bye.